Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with 6 race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Deadline for early summer registration is July 22nd. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. We have the flag of the United States. Every state has a flag. But for cities, it's optional. Some cities, like Chicago, have iconic flags that are embraced by the people who live there. Others have flags that fly over City Hall and show up pretty much nowhere else. This hour, we're going to talk about flags and what makes for a great flag. We'll find out about 2 Iowa city flags. Cedar Rapids is going through the process of designing a new city flag, and there's a grassroots movement afoot to bring back the Des Moines flag. My first guest this hour is Ted Kay. He is a flag expert, the author of Good Flag, Bad Flag, How to Design a Great Flag. And he was featured in a very popular TED Talk by Roman Mars called Why City Flags May Be the Worst Designed Thing You've Never Noticed. Ted is on the line with me now. Hello.
Hello. Glad to be with you.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And I want to start with some of your basic principles of good flag design. Tell me what makes for a great flag.
A great flag has 5 basic principles: simplicity, meaningful symbolism, 2 to 3 colors, no lettering or seals, and distinctiveness. Flags that have those characteristics tend to be great designs.
All right, give me a couple of examples of some of your favorite flags, some of those flags that just really nail those design elements.
Well, you mentioned Chicago as a city flag, a white flag with 2 blue, light blue stripes, and between them 4 red 6-pointed stars that represent the river and lake in Chicago and 4 major events in Chicago's history. That's an iconic flag that's simple and used everywhere in Chicago.
When you look at the American flag, does that meet all of those elements in your mind?
It does, with the possible exception of simplicity. When it was first designed with 13 stars, one could see those stars. Now it's kind of hard to distinguish the number of stars, but that's overcome by the meaningful symbolism of the 50 stars. So the U.S. flag, as Roman Mars says, is a remixable design that you can use components of it or the entire flag, and it is very recognizable.
Absolutely. Well, listening to your basic principles there, I am suspecting that the Iowa flag does not meet your criteria.
Well, I like to say that if you have to write the name of your state on your flag, your symbolism has failed you.
Okay. And of course, Iowa has the name of the state on the flag, but it also has our state motto. Our motto is a bad idea?
The challenge with writing on flags is that flags are meant to be seen from a distance, on a piece of fabric, flapping, and on both sides. Under those circumstances, writing isn't very successful on flags.
All right, so we should take the words off. When you think about designing a flag, you have kind of a rule of thumb that you should be able to design it on a very small piece of paper. Tell me about that.
That's right. A flag 50 feet away, a 3-by-5-foot flag 50 feet away on a flagpole, looks the same as a 1 by 1.5 inch rectangle 16 inches from your eyes. So if you want to design a flag that's successful at a distance, start with a very small rectangle. Don't use a great big piece of paper to design it.
All right. I'm sure that's a mistake most people make when they start to design a flag. Are there colors that are bad on a flag? I mean, you talked about using 2 or 3 basic colors. Are there colors that should be avoided, do you think?
Not necessarily, but the key concept is there are 6 basic colors for flags: red, white, blue, green, yellow, and black. Sometimes we see orange or purple, brown, but flag fabric made by mills only comes in a couple dozen colors. So when designing a flag on a computer that has a million colors, one needs to keep in mind that when the flag is actually manufactured, there's a very limited color set. The more important thing about colors is to make sure that you don't put too many of them on the flag, because they're hard to distinguish and they might mush together. But the second is that the colors should be separated dark versus light. Don't put dark colors next to each other or light colors next to each other. Separate them with dark and light.
What do you think the power of a good city flag is? I mean, as I mentioned, they're optional. Not all cities have them. Not all cities who have them have recognizable flags. Why might this be important?
Cities have the opportunity to represent themselves to the world and represent themselves to the people who live there, both an external and an internal view. The flag can, for people who live there, can be a banner that creates civic cohesion. We are all part of this city. You certainly see that in Chicago. It can also say to visitors and people looking from the outside, this is who we are. Come visit us or understand us. And cities that have great flags are successful in expressing that view to the outside and civic cohesion. Cities that don't are missing that opportunity. And often that symbolism is ceded to sports teams rather than to the city itself.
Sure. So a good corporate logo really symbolizes the city for a lot of different cities. I mean, if you think about Boston, for example.
Yes, Boston's flag fails on many counts, and so hardly anybody thinks about the Boston flag. But a flag of, say, Denver or Phoenix or even Portland, my hometown, Portland, Oregon, have very iconic flags that people recognize.
When cities create a flag, the process itself is something that brings people together. Cities often use this as an opportunity to get a lot of input from citizens, have people vote on their favorite designs. Is there a problem with the process?
No. In fact, the biggest challenge of flag change in cities, and I'm tracking over 150 cities that are currently in the process or finished flag change in the last couple of years. The biggest challenge is having the elected officials understand the value of having a great city flag and commit to a process that will result in the adoption of a great city flag. Many, many elected officials think, or they hear from their constituents, oh, there are better things to do with our time. We've got more important things to do, or the existing flag was designed by my grandfather, or I'm used to looking at that flag, or it's going to be expensive to change out all those flags. And they miss that it's not going to be very expensive because there's only two of them flying, one in front of City Hall and one in the city council chambers. Second, just because you're used to it doesn't mean that you don't have an opportunity to improve. And if we had a great city flag, we might have a banner to rally people under for those more important issues.
Do you think that crowdsourcing is a good way to find that design?
It's amazing how creative people can be and how powerful it is to have lots of people involved in a flag design contest. There's sort of two ways to go about designing a flag. One is to hire a professional or have the city staff do it, have one person or a small group design it. The second is to have some kind of competition where it is indeed crowdsourced and lots of people give ideas. And it's stupendous how great the ideas can be when you crowdsource.
Okay, but you have to communicate with people about the elements of good design, right?
Exactly. One of the reasons the book that I compiled, Good Flag, Bad Flag, is called that is that there are so many bad flag designs out there that they form part of the model that people have in mind when they sit down to design a flag. So cities quite often will put their city seal on a flag. Seals don't belong on flags. They belong on a piece of paper close up where you can see them.
On your letterhead, yeah.
And I like to say that seals belong to the government, but the flags belong to the people. And by placing a seal on a flag, that's trying to say this flag represents the government of the city rather than all of us in a city. That's why the Des Moines flag is such a powerful design, because it represents everyone in Des Moines, not just the government of Des Moines.
Well, let's talk about the Des Moines flag, which has fallen out of use, but we'll talk with people who are trying to bring it back. Tell me what makes this flag a good flag.
It's if I go down the basic principles of flag design and tick them off, keep it simple. It's a wonderfully simple design with a red trapezoid, I guess, on the hoist side of the flag, and a field of blue with three stylized bridges crossing it in a consistent arched shape. It's got meaningful symbolism. Des Moines and its bridges are famous. Two to three colors. It has three colors. No lettering or seals. Check that one off. And distinctiveness. It's a distinct flag. No other flag looks like it. In fact, it's such a powerful design that when I edited the book American City Flags for our group, the North American Vexillological Association, NAVA, I put the Des Moines flag on the spine with two other flags so that people could see it. It's such a distinctive and great design.
Okay, now let's talk about the Cedar Rapids flag, which is going to be replaced. And in that TED Talk that I mentioned earlier, the Cedar Rapids city flag went up on the board when he was talking about bad flag designs. Tell me about this one.
Well, as I said, so many people have bad designs as their models that it's hard to fault people. Somebody, say, in 1962, who designed a city flag, there weren't a lot of great models out there. Cedar Rapids, if we tick off the design principles, Cedar Rapids has a very complex line drawing of old, today, and future Cedar Rapids in the middle of a white field with big words Cedar Rapids and Iowa around it in red letters. It's not simple. The symbolism is meaningful. That's usually an easy one to get. It does have just three colors, red, white, and black, but it completely fails on the no lettering.
Right. It says, proud of yesterday, progressive today, promising tomorrow. And Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
It does say Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And as I said, can you imagine having a national flag that says France on it?
All right. Well, we'll talk more about those flags as the show goes on. But Ted Kaye, thank you so much for being on the show with me today.
Glad to be with you.
Ted Kaye is a flag expert. He is the author of Good Flag, Bad Flag. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with six race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Deadline for early summer registration is July 22nd. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about city flags. Later in the show, an effort to bring back the city flag of Des Moines. But we're going to start in Cedar Rapids, where they're going through the process of redesigning the city flag. But before we talk about the new flag and that process, we're going to talk about the old flag. And of course, we just heard Ted Kaye describe it. It's a white flag, and it says Cedar Rapids along the top in red letters, Iowa along the bottom in red letters, and then there's a city landscape that shows the past, the present, and the future, at least as seen when the flag was designed. It says, proud of yesterday, progressive today, promising tomorrow. And Fred Easker is joining us. He is a well-known artist. He lives in Lansing, Iowa. He and his wife own the Easker Art Studio Gallery. Easker's paintings are included in many museums and public collections throughout the Midwest and even grace the walls of three different embassies. He primarily paints landscapes now, but once upon a time when he was a teenager, he designed that much maligned Cedar Rapids flag. Hello, Fred.
Hello. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And I know this is the very smallest part of your career, but I do want to take you back in time to when you were a teenager. Tell me how this came about.
Well, the process was probably the worst process based on what I just heard from Mr. Kaye. The mayor just contacted, as I understand it, contacted the four high school art teachers, and they each selected a student so there to participate, and there were four students involved in the contest.
Yeah, and what year was this?
1962.
All right, 1962. You were one of those students that was selected. Were you, did you consider yourself to be an artist back then?
Actually, not. I was, in those days, they had college track scheduling or in high school. And in my senior year, I was kind of tired of all the math and science and begged my counselor to let me take an art class in my the second semester of my senior year. So I was pretty new to the whole situation.
Right. But you must have been showing quite a bit of promise if your teacher picked you. Do you remember that conversation?
Vaguely, he just sort of, we were working on some project in class, and he just came over and he wanted to know if I wanted to participate in that. And, you know, I don't know that I had done anything that would, prior to that, that would have suggested that I should be the one selected, but that's what happened.
Well, and I'm sure, having just listened to Ted Kaye, I'm sure you're wishing that back then someone had given you a list of the five elements of great flag design. But do you remember the process of coming up with your design?
Well, I remember that the motto that's on there was the motto of Cedar Rapids, but the Chamber of Commerce's motto for Cedar Rapids at that time. And, you know, thinking, well, that ought to be on the flag because I had no experience with any of that before. And that seemed like a good starting point. So, and actually, as I was listening to Mr. Kaye, it was like, I remember one of the other students' designs when I, because we saw them all, I saw them all, and I thought, in retrospect, that was his was probably a much better design than mine.
Well, do you remember when you found out that your design got picked?
Yes, I was in college, and the process was we all were invited to the mayor's office, and we all got our picture taken holding the flag with the mayor. And then when it was announced that I won, which was probably in September or October, I was in college already, that was the picture that appeared in the Gazette announcing my selection.
How did you feel about it?
Well, I was pretty excited. It was a big deal to me at the time, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, and as I mentioned, I mean, this is deep in your past. And really one of the first art projects you ever did or large art projects that you ever did, you weren't necessarily thinking about becoming an artist. When did that happen for you?
Well, I was majoring in history and I had always been interested in that. And as I was into my second year of studying history, I just became a little disaffected of it, mainly because it seemed like all we were talking about were battles all the time, and it just sort of lost interest in it. And since art was the only other thing that I was interested in, and because I had won this award or a contest, I thought, well, that would be a good path to follow.
Right. So really, this artwork that you did for the City Flag of Cedar Rapids helped launch your career.
Well, I think so. It certainly made me think seriously about that as an option. And when you're 18, 19, you know, you don't, and if, particularly in those days, it was kind of hard to figure out what was possible.
Yeah. Well, and you are a full-time artist now. You have been for a number of years. Being a full-time artist, of course, is a very difficult thing to be. Tell me a little bit about your career along the way after college.
Well, first of all, I want to correct you a little bit, mm-hmm. that we have our gallery in Lansing is only a part-time gallery, mm-hmm. and we're just here the first two weekends of the month and the week in between. The rest of the time, we reside in Cedar Rapids,
okay.
and that's where my primary studio is. Well, so I went to the University of Iowa and majored in art education, because that seemed to be a way that I could earn a living with my interest in art, and I taught art for 7 years at Linmar outside of Marion, and then I was assistant director at the Cedar Rapids Art Center in those days, and then left there and sort of worked as a part-time director of Marion's Granger House, the Historic House Museum, and then was working on my art at the same time.
I've been looking through your collection of landscapes that you published recently, and really, really gorgeous landscape paintings. When did you start painting landscapes?
Probably about 30 years ago, maybe 25. I was taking a series of courses at the University of Iowa and in art history, basically, and was commuting daily between Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, and started thinking about the Iowa landscape in conjunction with the studying of Hudson River School paintings as part of the art history course that I was on. And then I thought, well, maybe when I get done with my degree, I'll see about starting some landscapes. So I set out to do 10 landscapes just to see. That seemed like a good way to figure out whether I was really interested in doing them. And so I'm way past that now. I have lots of ideas, so I'll keep at it till I can't anymore, I guess.
Well, and so many of your paintings do celebrate the Iowa landscape, which, we're pretty underrated in a lot of ways. And I think a lot of people outside of Iowa don't necessarily think of us as having so much natural beauty here. Tell me what made you want to paint Iowa.
Well, I was really interested in part of the work that I did for my art degree in art ed was to do do a lot of self-reflective writing. And I was, I spent a lot of time in my grandparents' farm as a kid, and really realized that I was really quite connected to this area. And I sort of thought if I could bring a little bit of that Hudson River magic to this Iowa, that would be a good thing to do. And up here, and one of the reasons I'm in Northeast Iowa is that I gradually started moving, looking around for new subject matter. And, the Northeast Iowa is probably one of the most underrated areas in Iowa. It's just spectacular up here.
Yeah, the Driftless region. There's so much beauty there. Although you don't necessarily paint the more dramatic parts of that region. I mean, you paint a lot of gently rolling hills.
That's true. But that sort of reflects the Iowa. I grew up in Cedar Rapids, and that's kind of the landscape around Cedar Rapids. And that's what I started looking at. Originally, I would just do paintings within about 40 miles of Cedar Rapids. And then I gradually started moving towards Northeast Iowa. I guess when I started painting up here, I was really, it's really difficult. Yeah, I guess what I want to say is that you need to understand the place a little bit before you can do, I think, significant work about it. And it takes a while for me at least, to figure that out, to figure out what is of interest to me, not to be just a tourist, I guess.
Well, and one of the things that I really love about your work, Fred, is your use of light and the sky, which I think that when we think about landscapes, of course, we think about the land, but you really capture the Iowa sky, which I think is very special in our state.
Well, thank you. I have spent a lot of time, trying to develop the skill to do that.
So I have to ask you, you had probably gone decades without thinking about the Cedar Rapids city flag. When this came back to the surface, I mentioned that very popular TED Talk and that the Cedar Rapids city flag was put up as an example of flags that do not follow those principles of design. When did you first start hearing people talk about it again?
Well, one morning I was working away in my studio, and a couple of disc jockeys from a morning talk radio humor show from Cedar Rapids called me to announce it to me. And they were, hot to do a riff on the fact that it was the fourth worst in the country. So that was the first I heard about it.
That must have been kind of a shock.
Well, it was. I hadn't thought about it for years. And and then periodically then it keeps recycling. And I've been amused by it largely.
Good. Well, I mean, it sounds like you have a great sense of humor about it. In some ways, I think it would be difficult to have people wanting to keep calling you and talk about really one of the first art projects you ever did in your life, considering that you have this huge body of work that has followed.
Yeah, it's a gift that keeps on giving.
Are you excited that Cedar Rapids is going to be getting a new flag and maybe people will stop talking about it?
Well, I'm completely supportive of the idea. And at some years ago, I spoke to another mayor. I had the occasion to speak to another mayor and suggested that they have a new contest because it was out. The flag was outdated. I hadn't seen it on any building for quite some time. So anyway, I'm quite supportive of what they're doing.
Well, Fred, thank you so much for talking with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Fred Eesker is a well-known artist. He splits his time between Cedar Rapids and Lansing, Iowa. He and his wife own the Eesker Art Studio Gallery in Lansing. You can see his work in the book Connected to Place, Landscape Paintings, and of course in many museums and public collections throughout the Midwest. Now we're going to talk about this process of selecting a new Cedar Rapids city flag. Maria Johnson is with us now, the Communications Division Manager in Cedar Rapids. Hello, Maria.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today. Tell me why this came about. Why did Cedar Rapids decide that now was the moment to get a new city flag?
Well, similar to Fred, I had been hearing, periodically I'd hear from residents about our flag since the TED Talk came out, and people were interested in a design of a new flag. Over the years, I'd say the last 5 years or so, it has been in the back of the mind of people around here, the city council. And we at one point decided recently that it was time to start thinking about a redesign of the flag.
All right. And with redesigning the flag, you're doing something a little bit different this time than that. Hey, let's call the art teachers at the high schools in 1962 and tell them to pick a student to design us a flag. What is your process?
Our process is really, I'm excited about it because it involves public input and it will reflect our community and what the community feels represents Cedar Rapids. So it's less of a contest and more of what I call public input. We are asking our residents to submit design ideas, but they can also submit just ideas of symbols, shapes, colors, and why they think those symbol shapes and colors would represent Cedar Rapids. So we are taking input and designs, and we're definitely sharing information about the guidelines that come from the American Vexillological Association to try and make sure that we come up with a flag that we can be proud of and represents Cedar Rapids.
So this time, as Fred was saying, he would have loved to have that kind of guidance. This time you're giving everybody that guidance, the elements of good flag design. How does this process time out? How long are you taking input from the public about new designs?
So now we kicked off the process in June. June 1st, we had a resident appreciation day at our downtown farmers market. And we allowed people to learn about the flag process, learn about the guidelines for a good flag design. And we had worksheets where kids or adults could design flags with little boxes, as Ted mentioned, small designs, help it so that when it's on a flagpole, you can see it. So June 1st through November of this year, we're doing that community engagement and getting ideas and input from the community. Then in November through March, we're going to have some local professional designers take all that input and create, we're saying now, and you know, the process could change, but 4 to 6 final designs based on that community input. And then in March, we're going to take those final designs back out to the community and have them rank. And then in June at our farmers market, Resident Appreciation Day at the farmers market, we'll have the big unveiling of the new flag.
All right. So this is basically a year-long process that you're engaged in.
It's a year-long process, yes. And like I said, we will have, it's less of a contest. The flag won't be one person that designs the flag. We won't have a Fred to talk to about their ideas. It will be a community collaboration.
Now, even just in the month or so that you've been doing this, I can imagine that you've had thousands and thousands of people design flags for you. How is your committee going to sift through all of that community input?
Well, we have we're working on, we put things in categories, and we have people that are kind of pulling out. It's interesting. Already we've seen some ideas that have risen to the top, which I find fascinating. A lot of the submissions we've seen incorporate the river. So we see blue, and we've seen symbolism of the river. And that's one of the things that already early on in the process I've seen rise to the top as a symbol that people in our community are interested in having symbolized on the flag.
Oh, Maria, I want you to stay with me. We are going to have to take a short break, but we'll be back in just a moment. Right now, we're talking about the process of designing a new flag for the city of Cedar Rapids. Maria Johnson is with us, the Communications Division Manager in Cedar Rapids. We're going to talk a little bit more about that Cedar Rapids city flag, and then we're going to talk about the Des Moines city flag. Des Moines has a city flag, but it's fallen out of use, and there is a grassroots movement afoot to bring that Des Moines flag back. We'll talk about that in a moment. You're welcome to join the conversation as well. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about flags. We've learned what makes a great flag, and we're talking about city flags right now. The Cedar Rapids flag has been made fun of a little bit. It was designed first back in 1962, and the design is out of date and doesn't really follow those principles of good flag design that we've been talking about this hour. So Cedar Rapids is going through the process of designing a new flag. Maria Johnson is with us, the Communications Division Manager in Cedar Rapids. And Maria, before I let you go, I'm curious, you know, there are a lot of cities, and Des Moines is one of them, that just kind of stopped using their flag. That would have been an option for Cedar Rapids. It's not like it's a requirement to have a city flag. What is the motivation behind developing a new city flag? What do you hope it will do?
Well, you're right. The Cedar Rapids city flag, actually, why for several years we didn't redo the flag. We have the Tree of Five Seasons, which is a very iconic symbol that we use to represent the city of Cedar Rapids. It's the city's logo, but it has been kind of embraced by our community. So the flag has not been used. Actually, when I started working for the city almost 6 years ago, the only place that I still know of that a flag is actually on display is in our council chambers. So the flag has not been utilized well. But when we started talking about the idea of redesigning a flag, I really got excited about the process and the community engagement, talking about positive about Cedar Rapids and what represents Cedar Rapids and how the community feels about Cedar Rapids. So that is an interesting to me, which is one of the reasons why we made this a year-long process. We want that community engagement. We want people thinking about Cedar Rapids in a positive light and what could represent Cedar Rapids. I've heard from a lot of people in the community that this is a fun process. You know, while we're not doing the contest where we're picking out an artist at the high schools, we are reaching out to schools and kids in the community, high schools, age through adults, to start thinking about what they might want the city flag to represent. So that's a fun process overall. What I tell people why we need a city flag and why we're doing this now, the flag will really represent the community. We have a Tree of Five Seasons, which represents the city organization. The flag is for the community, and people will be able to use it as a source of pride and how they feel they want to use it. It will not be a copyrighted image. People would be able to put it on items that, you know, buy flags. They could have them out at their houses. They could have it in their places of business. And really, the community can use the flag how they see that they want to use it.
Well, Maria, we can't wait to see what you come up with.
Thank you.
Maria Johnson, she is the Communications Division Manager in Cedar Rapids, and Cedar Rapids is engaged in a year-long process now of creating a new city flag. The design will be unveiled next summer in June. And now I want to talk about the Des Moines flag. We talked earlier about those elements of good flag design. It should be simple. Use meaningful symbolism, use two or three basic colors, no lettering or seals, be distinctive or be related. So avoid duplicating other flags, but you can use the similarities to show connections. The Des Moines city flag ticks all of those boxes. It is a white background. It has, as we've heard, a red trapezoid along the left-hand side. It has these bumps or arches, blue bumps or arches that represent the bridges of Des Moines. And it's a lot of people's, or it makes the top city flag lists, but it has fallen out of usage. Emily and Mason Kessinger are trying to bring it back. They're the founders of Flag of Des Moines. You can find the flag and information about it at flagofdesmoines.com. They also own and operate the Yellow Brick Gallery in Des Moines, and they're with me now. Hello, Emily.
Hi, good morning.
And hello, Mason.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you.
So tell me when the two of you first encountered this flag.
So I first encountered the flag about 9 months ago from a friend, Jeff Wood, who owns and operates Gravitate Coworking downtown. He had created some small stickers of the flag. And once I saw that, I struck up a conversation with Jeff. And he had actually written a long blog post about the flag, which kind of covered the history of the flag all the way to the point where we don't really fly the flag anymore. So that got me really excited. I was subsequently handing those stickers out to friends and family when I gave one to my mother-in-law, Sarah Suzannan. And she said, Mason, you're not going to believe this, but I was part of getting that flag made. So those two people, their passion and interest kind of led me to the flag, and we still carry that to this day.
All right. Well, let's go back in time and let's talk about when this flag first was designed, back in March of 1974. Tell me the story.
Yeah. So in 1974, the city of Des Moines had a contest, maybe similar to the Cedar Rapids contest. And it was an open call for submissions of flag design. And over 300 entries were received. And the interesting connection that we have back to it is that my mom, then Sarah Betts, submitted one of the entries. Her seventh grade teacher, Gerald LeBlanc, who is well known in Des Moines as a historian, he actually passed last year. Gerald LeBlanc had each of his seventh graders submit designs, but the kind of story goes is that, you know, children through octogenarians submitted these potential designs for a future Des Moines flag. And the one that was selected was designed by a businessman at the time, Walter T. Proctor, who left Des Moines a few years later, but created this really memorable design. And so it was selected by, I believe, vote, city council. I don't really recall, but that's just kind of where it landed.
And it's given how it was crowdsourced. I mean, it's really a surprisingly sophisticated design. That was in 1974. Nobody probably handed them a list of here are the things that make a flag great, right?
We don't think so. And that, I think, is what really stuck out and sticks out for us is the beauty of the design. You mentioned the bridges and rivers that are actually symbolized in the flag. You know, that's a part of who we are as Des Moines, who we are as people of Des Moines, connected by these bridges and rivers, east and west, north and south. So I think the resonance of that symbolism is huge.
Well, you mentioned your friend Jeff, who got you excited about the flag. He's on the line with us now. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
Hey there. So tell me why you fell in love with this flag.
My name is Jeffrey Stevens. I'm a professional designer, artist, and publisher here in Des Moines, and I've done many designs. I went to Italy as an art student. I'm 68 years old. I'm a six sexitarian, or instead of a
octo, right?
I'm not 80, but I'm 60. So I just love, I've always loved that design, and I think it's so wonderful that we're jumping on this, because poor city Cedar Rapids needs a flag, and I was worried that they would steal our flag.
But yeah, it would be a great for symbolism in Cedar Rapids as well. I'm sorry I was confused about which Jeff you were, but thank you so much.
I've talked to you before, and yeah. I designed Ty Smeedy's. I designed the Return of the Bald Eagle to Iowa with Iowan Books.
Yeah, and, wonderful.
Well, and I was at Meredith, and I've been...
So this one gets your stamp of approval as a professional designer. Jeff, thank you so much for sharing your feelings. And obviously, a number of people feel the same way, Emily and Mason. You're not alone in feeling like this is a great flag, but do we know why it sort of fell out of usage?
So I've had a couple conversations with people in local government, the current mayor, members of city council, past city employees who were around when the flag was taken out of, I guess I'll call it circulation, because it was truly circulated. You know, it was flown at public buildings and in schools, on businesses, and sold and promoted as our flag. In 2008, when it was kind of quietly stopped, really, no one has been able to give me a straight answer, honestly. And we just kind of tell people, you know, it was kind of casually swept under the rug. You know, the bridges that they truly represent, Walnut, Grand, and Locust, were undergoing future construction, which has since happened. So if you drive downtown, you will notice that those true arches are not in the bridges, but to us, it's a bridge. A bridge is representative of a bridge.
Right.
You draw a bridge, it probably looks similar to that arched shape in the flag. So I think they replaced it with the city logo, which Ted would agree that is a seal or a logo belongs to the government and a flag belongs to the people. I wrote that down. I liked that that saying. So. I think from our standpoint, we have had nothing but support from current city officials, those that I've spoken with, about, you know, let's bring it back. And that's ultimately our goal here, is to, you know, meet with and, you know, take it to city council and have them say, bring back the flag. This is our flag.
And the city logo, it also has a bridge on it, one of the more modern bridges. It has the city skyline. But as you're saying, that was a logo designed for the city that can go on the letterhead of the city. You feel like there's room for both symbols.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So are you meeting resistance in the idea of bringing this back? I mean, the city of Des Moines is not responding?
No, we've actually experienced nothing but favorable interest in what we're doing. We've received some guidance in first getting the symbol out and kind of creating, if you will, a viral movement and bringing that image back, which is why we've created so many products and stickers and things like that to put those throughout the city. But we've spoken to council members, the mayor, and various other city officials in an unofficial capacity, and have received nothing but compliments.
All right, but that doesn't mean that the flag is flying.
No, that doesn't mean the flag is flying yet, .. I have to say, I think we've had really great momentum and will continue to. And, you know, people are excited about it. It's a piece of our history, and it's really resonant with folks. So
if people around the city of Des Moines embrace the symbol and they're, you know, wearing it on a hat or a T-shirt or flying it even in their yards, does that feel like a victory to you, even if it's not flying at City Hall?
I think it's a small step towards victory, and we do have plans eventually. We're trying to coordinate it as skillfully as possible to bring the matter up to City Council to bring the flag back, officially.
So
Mason, I know you lived in Chicago, so we've talked earlier about the Chicago city flag and how iconic that is. For people who haven't spent time in Chicago, give me an idea of the culture around that flag.
Yeah, it's very inspiring for me with respect to the Des Moines flag. But I've lived in Chicago and in Washington, D.C., and in both cities, those flags are represented on T-shirts. People have dog collars with them. They fly flags from their house, and people are tattooing the flags on themselves. There's a real unity that people find in that symbolism, and it's really inspiring to see. So when I found out that Des Moines has a similar symbol that we weren't leveraging in that way, I became motivated and wanted to change that.
So other than it looks cool, and if you're in the know, you know what it is, why do you find it inspiring?
Well, so I'm a 3-year Des Moines resident now. And ever since I moved here, Emily, my wife, is from Des Moines, and we met in Chicago and moved here. I've just fallen in love with the people and the pace of life. And I'm really inspired by how the city is growing and changing. We have very cool breweries and coffee shops, and I feel like we're becoming a trendier city. And so I think with any great movement, a great brand or a great identity visually is usually behind that. So I think that bringing this vintage modern logo into the mix of a new budding city only makes sense to me, and that it kind of helps propel the message of, you know, moving into the future.
What are you hoping will happen next? I mean, you're trying to rally people around your cause, Emily. What's next for you?
Well, so we, you know, have partnered with a lot of local businesses. We're continuing to promote the flag and products. We want to have a mural of the flag somewhere, because murals are big in this city. And we think that, again, the symbolism and connecting all of the people through a visual element greater than, you know, just a flag on a wall, but like a huge, like 40-foot something, could be really impactful. But, you know, really just continuing to share the flag. I mean, we're not the only people selling the flag. Heartland Flags has forever sold and really made the flag, which is a local Des Moines business. But we want to just continue to share it. We that for us is success. And again, like Mason brought up, preparing a sort of organized movement around taking it to city council officially. So it's flown again on the Rouen Center, which has a third flagpole that's empty. So if anyone knows anyone at Rouen, let's get the Des Moines flag on their third empty flagpole.
Do you feel like there's a groundswell of support for the Des Moines flag going on right now?
Absolutely, in every way, yeah. Like I said, we've never received anything but positive feedback. And after we do events like this, we've done events at like Confluence Brewing and different places around the city. Every time we do one of those, we get more and more people reaching out. How can we help? How can we get involved? And so that's really nice to see.
Well, Emily and Mason Kessinger, thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
They are the owners and operators of the Yellow Brick Gallery in Des Moines, and they are also the founders of Flag of Des Moines. You can find out all of their information at flagofdesmoines.com, and of course, see this symbol that we've been talking about this hour. We've been talking about the power of flags as Cedar Rapids is going through a process of selecting a new city flag, and Emily and Mason and others are trying to bring the Des Moines flag back. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Thank you.